Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with Rebecca Black and Biden exclaiming, "Eureka, Jack."
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Okay, so as I was telling you, yeah, so he ran out of the bathtub shouting Eureka, and that's where we get that from.
Yeah, you were telling me that. I wasn't telling you. I wasn't educating you. You weren't making a POC educate you on that.
Wait, now that we're on the pod, you're going to do that thing where you pretend you were the one telling me, okay, Adrian? I know showers weren't invented back then, but how infantilizing is it in your mind to imagine all the great men of history taking baths? Like, just imagine a little rubber ducky floating with them. Like, Napoleon had to take baths. He had to be like a little baby to get a bath every time he wanted to get clean.
I think that's a modern social construct. I think for them, baths were luxurious. You were having maidens and servants wash you. You were in there with your bros intellectualizing.
It was they had bathhouses. I forgot about that. Those are sweet. We should bring back bathhouses.
I think you're applying.
This is why Chinese people have everything figured out, man. They still do bathhouses with the boys. Meanwhile, I'm getting clean on my own time at home, like a slugger.
Just washing your ass by yourself.
Yeah,
doing a terrible job.
That's probably why they have so much social cohesion there.
Yeah, that's where the collectivist mindset comes from.
Yeah.
Until showers are abolished, we're not going to abolish capitalism. Showers are pure ideology.
Wait, sorry. We've been told not to be Slavo anymore. His lawyers got in contact with us.
Mm-hmm. Is he Slovenian or where is he from?
Yeah, he's Slovenian.
That is weird that that's the exact country that we charted in last.
What's up with you, Adrian? How's your week been?
Nothing. I'm trying this thing. The reason that I had to slap my face instead of clap is that I think the content has been a little bit better in the last two episodes because I hand-mic'd it instead of using the stand. So I think it keeps me more engaged, so that's why I'm holding it like this. I think obviously it makes the audio quality a little bit more inconsistent.
Well, give me a second. But, let's try this out.
Oh, you gonna do it handy?
Yeah.
What were you saying though? Oh, you were asking me how I was doing? What were you doing?
Yeah, I'm just asking what's up.
Not much. I don't have a media roundup or anything, but I did start watching YMS's Barbenheimer review, and that's when I learned the fact that there are only 30 theaters in the world where you can watch it as Nolan intended.
Yeah, one of them's in Charlotte.
Oh, I didn't see that on the list. I saw Sacramento, though, and it made me feel bad for not watching it in IMAX or wanting to watch it at all, really. But other than that, I've just been hanging around the day, watered the plants. Chill day. You know, nothing too big. Did a little bit of moving out with Tin. Oh, we did get Dog down this morning. He went over to Noah's and asked if I wanted a pastry, and I was like, honestly, I'll take a bagel, Dog. I've always wanted to try one, so he got one too. We just dogged down together this morning. He gave me a haircut. He added a little bit more dye in my hair, and I moved some stuff and went on my way.
Do you think it's one of those things that now that you're not living together, you're actually going to have more fun seeing him?
I think so, probably, yeah. I think we're going to actually catch up as opposed to kind of just like saying hi to each other as we see each other in the common rooms for like a week because we've already caught up on everything.
Instead of being like two white siblings who live together, just kind of tip of the hat as you walk by each other in the hallway.
Yeah. Morning to you. That's still what annoys me so much. I was thinking about this the other day about that thing where Justin's mom was mad at me for not recognizing her coming out of the elevator after I hadn't seen her in like 10 years. And she says hi to me, and her and Justin say nothing to each other, and she expects me to understand that she's Justin's mom. I was like, so if you had said hello, I would have understood who she was, but you guys are fucking freaks who don't address each other.
White families, man, I'm telling you, they all have business-style relationships with each other. That is actually kind of mind-boggling. There's no way if I saw my mom, even if I'd only left 5 minutes ago, it wouldn't be like a hug and a, okay, bye, see you later. We'd have another goodbye moment. Yeah. It's your mom, man. Come on now.
It's your mom.
It's your mama, man.
But the other thing was, Oh, yeah. I told Tin that a cute waitress told me yesterday that she liked how my hair looked. And so I was like, I'm never changing it. And he was like, but you could be more beautiful. Let me give you a haircut. And I was like, no, I'm never changing it.
I like that you're his muse. You're the canvas. You're the dark canvas upon which Tin creates his beautiful art.
That stems from a joke where every time Tin would dye my hair and sometimes he would get off the mark with the color, while he's in the middle of dying, I'll always just look at him and really creepily say, am I beautiful yet?
Did he ever say yes?
Yeah, of course.
If he didn't, me and Tin were about to have a problem.
Mm.
You don't want a problem with me.
You think he treated me the same way that Lizzo treats his dancers? Her dancers? Why did I just misgender Lizzo?
Wait, is that the new move to misgender cis people to prove a point?
You know, I'm just going to say that's real male behavior, what she did to her dancers, making them eat bananas out of pussies.
Oh my god, that was horrible. I did not like that news story at all, buddy.
I just heard that part. I have not heard any of the other parts, but it can't be good.
Apparently a lot of fat shaming, like she was really mean to her dancers when they gained weight and stuff.
Ooh, damn.
Definitely no psychology there. I think if Freud saw that, he'd be like, oh yeah, no data points there. That gives me nothing to work on.
Yeah. Definitely not just hurt people hurting people.
Was Freud the one who came up with that?
I don't think so. Did I ever tell you about the moment when I was living at my old house with the white woman roommate? And I did walk in on her in the living room, like tidying up and stuff, just singing a Lizzo song to herself. And I was like, man, that is exactly what that music's for.
When Lizzo first started popping off, that was what I thought was, I was like, yeah, this is basically taking artists I like and using that sort of like aesthetic to create pop music for white women.
I would be so surprised. You know, honestly, one of the things she could have done that might have been safer for the bag is just Target commercial songs. They love music like that. Just like
that's true.
White woman approved black women singing in a way that's accessible for white women. I think that was you know how YouTube will do that thing where it just berates you with the same ad for like an entire week and it just doesn't think there's any other ads that you want to see?
Actually, I don't because I pay for YouTube, but anyway,
oh, okay. Well, I guess fuck me for being poor, I guess, is the message that Paul wants to send there.
I'm glad you
understood. When am I going to do my hostile work environment lawsuit? But it was, the song was so annoying.
Like, you have to eat the banana out of my asshole. I don't think you can. You don't have the same complaint as Lizzo's dancers.
That was a health hazard. There are so many carbs in that banana, Paul. That's going to shoot my blood sugar right up.
Asshole, Paul, not a banana.
That's what I requested. Reasonable accommodations for my disability. A carrot out of your asshole is all I asked. But you gave me the stick. But yeah, the song literally just goes like, I said, do your thing. And I was like, oh my God. They forced some poor black woman to record that for white women at Target.
Do your thing.
Just do your thing. I said, do your thing.
I remember when they used a Lil Yachty song where they made, I assume with a literal whip behind his back, made Lil Yachty create the, what was it? It was like the,
I don't know. I don't know a lot of Lil Yachty's music. I just have trouble respecting him as a man because of his food opinions.
No. I think they recorded it for Target. It was like one of those types of songs.
I mean, since we're on this rant, I remember in high school, my girlfriend, we didn't always see eye to eye on music. I think she had a little bit more of a...
because she was taller than you.
Yeah.
So you couldn't look eye to eye.
Yeah, on music shelves. But she had like a more mainstream indie taste. So like there's a couple of songs that came out that I thought were just super corny. And I don't know who it's by, actually. I know the music video has like a ship that they're on. But it's like the one that goes like, bum, 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 bum. It's don't listen to a word I say. And that became a Target song. And I was like, obviously, like you can literally hear them in the like in the parts where it's paused. It's like, don't listen to a word I say. Target. Buy a notebook.
I thought it was one of those things where there's like a fun studio story about like, oh, this one really popular pop song, if you listen really closely to this part, you can hear like something going on at the studio, and in that song you can just hear a guy counting money if you listen closely enough.
Yeah.
You can hear a check being signed with the word Target.
Diving into my little Yachty opinion, I just want to say, sometimes Hot Ones makes people look way better than they do normally. Sometimes Adrian gets his pet peeves where the guy's like a 25-year-old man child who's like, yeah, I don't eat vegetables. I just eat frozen pizza every day.
I think this might be a little bit racist of you, Adrian. He grew up in a food desert. Actually, I've seen where he grew up in a video. He grew up in a suburb. He did not grow up in a food desert. He grew up somewhere where he totally had access to vegetables. It is kind of ridiculous. He refuses to eat vegetables. He grew up in a very middle-class suburban home.
There were farmer markets around, and there's also Publix around. Do you have anything going on?
No, not really.
People keep saying that's the end of summer right now, or that summer's about to leave. And because we're on the quarter system, I still have like 2 more months. Yet.
My teachers are going to be so angry.
We all know you didn't read those books. You were cliff-noting it. Did I ever tell you about the time when I was in high school and I was in a 2-year English course for the college credit course? And so we read a bunch of books the first year before we got in there, and one of them she just completely forgot to even bring into the curriculum. I read A Light in August for no goddamn reason.
I'm sure if I'd read William Faulkner, I'd be giving you a hearty chuckle right now.
You didn't read As I Lay Dying? That's usually the more common one.
No.
You didn't read C-Spot Run?
I didn't read Clifford the Big Red Dog.
You didn't read The Hungry Hungry Caterpillar?
I actually did read that one. That one was hard. No,
that shit slapped, bro.
Yeah, that was tough. They should do a modern version of that book where he ends up taking Ozempic and becoming a skinny caterpillar.
Very topical.
I just think we should be teaching kids about the modern world. You know, that's the thing. Schools don't teach you how to balance a checkbook. They teach you what? Science? Like, come on. Teach us something we'll use.
Yeah, they teach you not how to balance a checkbook, but how to balance a scale. How am I going to use that?
Yeah, they don't teach you how to handle being canceled, but they teach you how to do long division? Come on now.
Is that part of the curriculum in Florida now? Now that PragerU is officially licensed classroom material?
I think it would be to not participate in cancelings, right? Being canceled is good. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you want to get into the theme?
Yeah. Let's get into the theme, brother.
All right. It's Friday. I gotta get down on Friday.
Yeah, we're doing Friday as a theme, and I don't think we have to belabor the point about the Rebecca Black song, but, like, good for her. Could you imagine creating something that is so tied to a day of the week? We have 7 of those things, and when somebody thinks of Friday, like, her song is one of the first things that come to mind. That's kind of an incredible accomplishment.
And Gen Z just thinks of the Dorian Electra Big Frida remix.
That's true. Mm-hmm. She really owns that day.
Mm-hmm.
Good for her.
Friday. Is that your favorite day of the week? Were you one of those guys who during school had like that weird opinion where you're like, I actually like Thursday the best because it just kind of has the best energy?
Oh, you see, I always heard I like Thursday the best because you get to look forward to Friday. And I was like, what sort of bullshit opinion is that? I don't know. I guess it must be Friday or Saturday. I haven't really thought about it too hard, but it has to be one of those.
It's gotta be. You know, I don't mind a good Sunday.
Sunday's a good relaxation day. I think Sundays are when I get my best reading done.
I think Sundays are when I get my best day drinking done.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah, but Fridays are cool. I mean, you still have to work. I never really understood that, why people love Fridays that much in that sense.
Because once you get off work, you feel like a weight is off your shoulders. Like, it's a real... Now you have as much time as you're going to have till you have to work again as you're going to get.
How do you feel about Friday in terms of a 4-day work week, and eventually Thursday is going to become the new Friday? Do you worry for Friday's relevance?
Nah, I think it's got the Rebecca Black song to skate off of, so it's good.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, and Black Friday, and Friday.
And Good Friday.
Casual Friday. I did actually just ask, because I was leaving the house today, and my roommate said, have a good day, and I was like, yeah, happy Friday. And then I turned around, and immediately was like, oh, yeah, I don't actually know your schedule. Is today your Friday? And she was like, no, I usually work Tuesday to Saturday. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, then happy day before Friday. I know it's not your actual Friday.
You see, like, Friday is so synonymous with getting last off of work. Yeah. That... Even if you just said that if somebody gets off of work a different day, you call it their Friday. Friday isn't
thing. It's a really big service industry thing for people to be like, oh, my Friday is actually Wednesday or whatever.
Mm.
I'm not a huge proponent of it. I think we should focus on the reality of the situation. Days are not social constructs. They have a biological reality. Fridays are Fridays.
For people who work the night shift, are they like, oh yeah, 9 p.m. is really my morning?
I'm sure nurses say that. 9 p.m. is when I eat my breakfast, and it's like, hey, breakfast is not a social construct. That's between 8 a.m. and maybe 10 p.m.
I didn't really realize we were going to turn this into a trans allegory, but I say let's keep walking down this road, brother.
A what?
Huh?
I was just talking about Friday.
Oh, my bad. You see, a lot of what you said could actually be extrapolated to seem like it's kind of fitting into the mold of the modern debate around gender and gender identity.
There ain't no debating with me.
All right. Do you want to get into articles?
Do you have anything to say about the movie Friday? Or the rapper Friday with two Y's?
It's funny. I don't know that rapper.
I think he was on the Double XL list this year.
Mm.
Yeah.
Every year for like the last 4 years, the entirety of the Double XL, I know like one person, maybe one and a half, if it's like a year where I've really been.
I'll tell you what, brother.
Ears to the ground.
I'm just not tapped into the scene. But also, it seems like more and more it's losing its influence, and a lot of rappers who should be on it are turning it down, is what I hear every year.
All right, get into columns?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Adrian, you remember how when we did the pet episode, it's kind of...
Wait, pets one or pets two?
Oh, I forget. But you know how when we did the pets episode, it's kind of impossible to escape the advice columns written by dogs and cats. People love that concept. Like, it seems like endless amounts of people have stumbled upon that concept independently. Well, this is one of those. It's called Dear Butterscotch. School advice column from a tabby cat.
Mm.
So somebody wrote into Butterscotch, "My kid is a quitter and proud of it. There is no activity he won't quit. The more expensive the non-refundable deposit and or airfare, the better. Prehistoric bird archaeological dig? Arctic cross-country skiing? Knitting in the Czech Republic? Check, check, and check." Oh, check for the third one, written like Czech Republic, check. Mm-hmm. "The issue now is football. Our son is prepared." Okay, I'm going to come out of the southern voice. I just thought because this guy was doing football. Our son is prepaid for the season and in for a bunch of extra custom equipment as well. No surprise, he wants to quit football and join the competitive macrame team. I'm opposed and think he should learn to suck it up and take it like the man I hope he turns out to be. Also, I'm afraid my wife is raising my son to be a pussy. No offense to you, Butterscotch. My ex-wife thinks I just want to get out of my obligations to pay for extracurriculars as required in our divorce agreement. I think she wants to drive up the cost of extracurriculars for our shared child so there's no money left for my second set of kids. My issue is with his reason. My son says the team is fascist. I was the quarterback on the all-state champion team back in high school, and I'm proud of that. I suspect my son is trying to get at me by saying football is fascist. How could I get him to see the positives of football and avoid the very high macrame team fees? NB, the macrame team is committed to sustainability, so all the yarn is organic natural fiber at 10 times the cost of acrylic. Signed, Frustrated QB Daddy."
What is this outlet?
School News Today.
School News Today. What kind of satirical website is this? This feels like an Onion question or something like that, or a Hard Times question. The Dear Scabby thing.
It is very funnily written. Do you see my connection to Friday?
Because Friday is a football movie?
Because Friday Night Lights, baby, it's high school football.
Oh, Friday Night Lights. You do love that.
Not the show. It's literally also a saying outside of the show. It means high school football. Friday is when high school football plays. What?
You do love the show, though.
I do love the show. There was also an article by the actor who played the coach from Friday Night Lights, but it was very boring. And him and characters also, it wasn't that good an article.
Are tabbies known for being the most wise cats?
I think so. Yeah, I guess the part that does make it sound like a joke is the fact that he calls his son a pussy and then says no disrespect to the fake cat. He's asking an advice column question to.
The Czech Republic thing, he clearly set that up for a joke. And then
macrame, which I don't think is a competitive club many macrame, high schools yeah. have. Okay, you're right. This seems like there's a lot of tells that this might be a fake question.
But you know what we always do? We take it at face value.
Take it at face value.
So that, how does he make sure that his bitch ex-wife doesn't get all of his money?
Okay, we don't have to... I mean, this is a problem I think a lot of dads encounter, even if they're not as much of a joke as this dad. I think this is a real problem for old school dads, right? Like, my son isn't into the same masculine things I was into.
Yeah, I think we've touched on this a little bit in previous columns. I know in Drake's episode a little bit, and I think maybe a different sports one. So for this column, so we're taking it on the more general concept of how do we get this kid to stop being such a quitter?
Yeah, I mean, we could give him advice, like how do you get out of paying for macrame?
I mean, the other thing you could do is just do cheaper hobbies.
Well, it sounds like it's what his son wants to do, right? So it's not his choice.
What is this, High School Musical? You don't have to let your kid do whatever he wants.
Yeah, my parents never told me I couldn't pick up a hobby, but I don't think I ever requested a really pricey hobby. I was never like, Mom and Dad, I'm going to get into jewelry making. Mommy, Daddy, I'm going to get into dressage. Where is my pony?
I think you probably could do jewelry making on the cheap. Is that a usual divorce agreement term? Is that you have to pay for his extracurriculars?
I think you split the costs 50-50.
He said very directly that paying for extracurriculars was his part of the deal.
Oh. Do you think she did the smart thing? It's like when you split utilities with your roommate and they're like, I'll do water, you do electricity.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Totally even trade.
She was like, I'll pay for field trips. I'll pay
for sewer and garbage.
Yeah. I'll pay for the water he drinks. You pay for extracurriculars.
Mm-hmm. Could have been. I also don't really believe this is a real question, so.
It's not a real question, Adrian, but it's a real problem people endure every day.
Sure, sure. And I'm trying to give my advice for that as well.
You don't think your dad's a little disappointed in you for not being machismo enough?
Oh, you're really sticking with the he's being a pussy thing. I guess I didn't really latch onto that as hard. I guess it is very gendered with what he wants to do. I guess this is High School Musical.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to sing a song about how everyone wants him to stick to the status quo. I think if you're worried about your son being too feminine, you should talk to him about potentially transitioning. That way you can be really proud of your very feminine daughter.
And if they're just in between masculine and feminine, they can go this podcast's favorite gender identity, non-binary. Or also not in between, but outside of the paradigm completely. Another acceptable way to go non-binary. Non-binary, the official sponsor of Big Facts No Cap.
Oh, I wish the conservatives were right about how much money they had.
That is so true. It's like, woke is taken over. Everybody's just shilling for woke. And it's like, you guys all have fucking Coke money. I wish this podcast could get an influx of weird fake left-wing money.
George as if that Soros, existed. Give me some money.
If left-wing money existed, you know how happy I would be.
Yeah, let's hear the answer from this cat. I'm also bringing in a new advice column this week. So we got fresh blood coming in.
Dear frustrated QB daddy, you and your wife are both right. The two of you are using your son as a human football in this unresolved divorce. I call foul. Cut that out now. As for the football team, your son is also right. For starters, tackle football puts children at risk of brain damage. Don't pretend you don't know this. You do. If you're trying to soothe your conscience with that tiny study that showed 18 kids didn't immediately show signs of brain damage from tackle football, don't make me laugh. Symptoms come later in life. Kids who smoke don't immediately have lung cancer either. The fact that you would put your child in harm's way is a symptom of both the fascist nature of the sport and possibly late life brain damage you suffered as a quarterback yourself. Fascism is about violence in the name of coercive collective run by authoritarian masterminds. The authority...
That's, I guess they're never going to give a full definition of fascism, but their entire book's written about how to define fascism. Which we didn't touch about the fascism at all. Is football fascist?
That is a very funny thing to call football fascist. Obviously, it's not. That's ridiculous. Do you think it is?
No, no.
The authority you want
it's to libertarian is what it is.
No, because it's a team sport. I think it would have to be an individual sport to be libertarian.
But individuals shine.
Bowling is really the ultimate libertarian sport.
Chess.
The authority you want to wield over your son is part of the way fascism plays into the darkest impulses of patriarchy to dominate and control the individual in public displays of brutality, which suppresses opposition. Hitler, Franco, and Mussolini all use public sporting events to build their fascist regimes and showcase their power on a Roman model. Across the globe, extremist movements are using the same playbook to promote fascism and foment hate today. Take heed before it's too late. Your authoritarian impulse to hurt your son and make him do something against his will is a manifestation of the social and physical violence of the sport. The underlying misogyny and homophobia you demonstrate, as well as the anti-cat sentiment, are part of the same toxic sports culture. But you love playing football, you want to reply. Have you heard of Stockholm Syndrome? Research shows it appears in team sports as well. Kids want to please their parents. They want to belong. If we give them crappy things to belong to, they will learn to love them just like they learn to love your fat fascist ass. In this case, your son is more interested in pleasing his mother than he is in pleasing you. Again, I say cut out the BS where you triangulate the kid with your ex. Gross. Get out your macrame sticks, buddy, and wind up that fair trade, shade-grown yak fur. Love me, a ball of yarn. Signed, Butterscotch.
It's a very mean and well-read cat. All right, Paul, you ready for my half?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm bringing these guys in. This is the first time bringing them in. This is Dear Rick and Carly, Rick and Carly Advice Column. It's from 104.3 WoW Country. I have no idea where this radio station is. Oh, wait, no, it says right here, Boise Country Radio. So these guys are coming out of Idaho. And they're doing a question about a little thing called Black Friday. So I don't know who Rick and Carly are. I don't know if they give advice together, but we're going to see. One of our Treasure Valley listeners needs your help. Here's the letter he sent us this morning. Dear Rick and Carly, my wife and I had a disagreement over the weekend. We can't find a babysitter for Black Friday, so we are taking our 3-year-old shopping with us. My wife wants to use a child leash on our daughter. I do not, and find it degrading, inhumane, and pet-like. Who's right, me or her? Simple cue for some simple folks.
I can't remember if this was something from the show Atlanta, or if they took it from... Do you know that Black Twitter meme that's like, white people who use child leashes, you know that's just for Black people to look at you and laugh at behind your back?
That's funny.
I mean, yeah, I mean, if it works for you, God bless, I guess. I don't think it's, like, abusive or wrong, but you know everybody's making fun of you for treating your baby like an animal, right? Like, we're all kind of snickering.
So you're saying don't do it because you'll be the laughingstock of that TJ Maxx.
Who goes to TJ Maxx for Black Friday?
I don't know. Have I ever had the opportunity to tell this story on pod about how I once did Black Friday shopping with a friend and we went to Walmart and I didn't actually need anything at the time, so I just bought shampoo, which I needed?
Oh, we always laugh at my dad because there's a story we tell about that where we went and he grabbed bananas and then obviously took it up to the line, saw how long the line was, and put them back. It's like, yeah, I guess you wanted bananas, but who's going to wait in a 30-minute line or whatever?
Just everybody with TVs, and he's got bananas.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't end up buying some. It was like one of those things where I think we walked around, realized we didn't really want any of the deals, and he was like, well, do kind of want bananas. We're here, might as well grab them. So saw the line, we're like, oh, let's put the bananas back.
Damn. I think I only ever did an actual sit out and wait Black Friday with my family once. And it's one of those things where there are certain activities where it's like mom's not going along. So it was just me, my sister, and my dad. But that was like
this one is for the fellas and
the boys. But that was very much the type of thing where like you get the booklet or the little like leaflet ahead of time where it tells you what the deals are.
Yeah.
So we knew exactly, like, we had the game plan. It was, you know, Dorley's going to block the door. I'm going to stab whoever gets past Dorley, and my dad's going to run straight for the TV and get it.
Hmm. Yeah. I guess that makes sense. I don't know. I think they could have left you at home. I don't know what you were really adding to that team. I don't think you have it in you to stab people.
I stabbed multiple people. And my dad kept saying, "Don't do it in the dick, dude. That's not cool." And I was like, "I'm not aiming for it. It just happens to be where I'm stabbing them."
You're just doing the South Park bit about the guy who shoots people in the dick. What is it
you mean
for?
Butters? Why are they... What do you mean that guy?
What?
His name is Butters. He has a name.
Jesus, Butters.
It's not cool.
They're stuck in like a chain restaurant for some reason. Oh, it's the one with Snooki, right?
I think it's the one
where the Jersey people are attacking them, and he keeps shooting the Jersey people in the dick. Or am I mixing two episodes?
No, they're in a P.F. Chang's or something, and they're worried about like China taking over or something. I don't know. I remember it being an Asian restaurant.
Dude, remember that episode where the Japanese people keep telling everybody that they have big penises to distract them as they invade America? Now that's a good episode.
Yeah, we're supposed to do a South Park episode soon, so let's keep it under wraps. Lou, 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 I've got some apples. Lou, 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 you got some dew.
That's me. I'm Butters.
Well, that's me. Anyways. I was very useful. Yeah, I think the next year was the one where I did with my friend Josh, where we just went to TJ Maxx and I got a few shirts or something like that. Now I've been a huge Black Friday guy, but we're talking about the kid, right?
Yeah.
I only ever went with other adults. And luckily, I don't think we were ever a town that had like a really sad event happen during Black Friday where people just got way too fucking freakish about it.
We were not that big a place. Do you think, like, you have two people. One person could kind of hang, like, one person could be the hitter, you know, the sniper who goes straight for the high price items, and the other person could be the person who just holds the child and or like keeps close to them. I don't know why you both need to be bounced. I don't know.
It's one of those things where Westerners have invented something that indigenous people have already known for millions of years, and that's just put them in a fucking papoose.
Put them in a papoose. Yeah, hold them.
Yeah. Put them in a backpack on your back.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're, like, so, like, too old for that, but not old enough to be left on their own, or you're just kind of scared about how weird Black Friday can get.
Once again, you have two parents. One of them just stays with the kid and holds their hand, goes slower. Other parents is a sniper.
Honestly, why do they need two people in general? Why can't one of them just stay home instead of having to find a babysitter? Is, like, Black Friday their thing?
I guess maybe that's a little lonely to just be out on Black Friday while the, like, I can see why that might be like a hard thing to ask one person to do alone.
Well, if the waiting's the issue, then I would say wait together and have the mom just hang outside with the kid.
Yeah, exactly. That's similar to, or just come in with the kid, but you're not the person trying to navigate the crowds. One person does the quick run to the item.
Yeah.
Also, don't fall for this consumerist marketing capitalist bullshit. Yeah, you don't need a flat screen TV.
Cyber Monday. Cyber Monday, folks.
Yeah, but then their kid is using the computer next to them unattended, so they got to keep him on a leash, or he'll keep, searching how to donate money to Al-Qaeda and getting them in trouble again.
How to join? Link. They keep asking for your permission and bothering you to see if they can go on Disney.com.
How to fly to Syria and fight for ISIS.
How to fight the Assad regime.
Oh my god.
So no leash?
No leash.
Isn't that fat over? Like, that happened, right? That happened and left. What? How old is this? Hold on. Maybe this is just
2015. I already looked.
I feel like that was the heyday of this. I feel like clearly before this ever happened with the leash stuff, they were able to get by without it, and afterwards we got by without it too. Just be a more attentive parent.
Have you ever thought about just sitting down with your kid and hitting them until they behave? Why is this kid trying to run away? Have you not raised them properly?
Wait, you're saying hit the child? Sorry, what were you saying? I blacked out for a second.
So that they'll behave. So that they won't try to run away from you, given the first opportunity.
So you're saying corporal punishment?
Yes.
Okay.
How else do you get children to listen?
I get on their level. I ask them how they're feeling, and we use
And then you hit them when they're least expecting it.
Just a gut punch. They don't expect an uppercut from that low. They don't expect a falcon punch from right there. Yeah, you're right, you're right. All right, yeah, anything else to say about this? Or
Friday, Black Friday.
You know, I just realized I might have run in an advice column with no answer.
It's one where they publish the question before they give an answer?
I think so, because it just says...
Oh, I think they let the comments answer. Please help by commenting below.
But what are the... are there any comments on this, or what are we supposed to do? There's zero comments. What the fuck are we supposed to do?
This poor person. It's been 8 years, and they're all just sitting around waiting to figure out if they should put their child in a leash or not. This child is now 10 years old. They have no idea what to fucking
do. They don't really even need the leash anymore. It's totally fine. I clicked on his profile to see if I can find a follow-up, but... hold on. He's active as of 4 years ago, but he wrote a lot 4 years ago. Ladies and gents, we might not have an answer for you on this one, or an official answer from a two-person advice column, and neither of them could bother to write an answer. God damn.
Kill your kid.
I think we might have to take that as an answer, yeah. just don't take your kid, or wait till next year, or do Cyber Monday. Cyber Monday was a thing in 2015.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think that Rick from... what was it, 103 country?
104.3 country.
104.3 country, and it was Rick who answered this question?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it didn't answer the question.
Do you think he kind of believes in a Buddhist ideal where no answer is really the most powerful answer?
The guy from the Boise, Idaho country rock station?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Right. Honestly, that is the type of person who likes Buddhism more than anybody else.
Well, that if it comes with the zen of motorcycle maintenance.
Well, that's like my infinite jest. You know how people online are always talking about like how annoying like philosophy bros are who own infinite jest? The zen of motorcycle maintenance has to be my number one red flag in another human. If somebody likes that book, I think I assume they're a moron.
It's not the subtle art of not giving an F.
That one's a little bit newer, and I think, I don't know. We've talked about that one, the like trend of books with like curses in the title to get your attention, self-help books that are like, don't give a cunt, learning to be your bitchiest self.
Written by Lizzo? That would be a cool comeback from her.
That'd be a crazy way to handle being canceled.
I mean, what do you think she's going to do if she can't come back in a more traditional, just like people forget kind of way?
That's tough. I really don't know. That it's kind of sad. I mean, what she did was really horrible, I guess. Probably abusive. So I shouldn't feel sad for her. But, like, it probably... hopefully... I don't know. I mean, I don't want her to be in poverty, I guess. I'm sure she has money still.
Yeah.
She probably shouldn't have power over other people anymore, but I don't know. It's crazy, huh?
To have Jamila Jamil come after and defend you and for you to still be canceled...
Wait, Jamila Jamil defended her? At what point during this cancellation? Like, after everything had come out, or...?
Nah, like, initial... yeah.
Jamila Jamil does seem like the ultimate Lizzo fan. This must be tough on her.
This must be a rough one for her, yeah.
Yeah.
She's really big on the body positives.
Yikes.
Yikes.
A lot of people... what was that thing she tweeted when she was like, a lot of people don't understand how much privilege I have to be this beautiful...
I don't know that, but that's cool.
She literally tweeted something like, people don't understand the privilege I have to be this beautiful. I have to have time to do my skincare, money for skincare products. Like, she went down how much privilege she has to be as gorgeous as she is.
That's cool.
I love her.
I mean,
I stand.
Is she wrong? Jamil. She's a certified baddie.
when she came out, what was it like? When she came out pro Bush and then said she didn't know about what he did, what he does.
She's not American. She's not American.
She rocks.
That is a thing where someone posted a screenshot. Apparently in the Gilmore Girls, Gossip Girl reboot that recently came out, there's literally a screenshot of someone having a bad moment in the press and someone being like, oh no, it just got worse. Jamila Jamil just came to your rescue or came to your defense.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's enough of a, there's enough of a phenomenon around her that was a joke in a show. All right. Do you want to do our third segment?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, we're doing our third segment, Freaky Friday. Does that need more explanation?
I would appreciate it, man. I'm confused.
All right, so I have an article here from Cult of Weird, the most famous circus freaks from sideshow history. I'm going to preface this by saying we probably don't call them freaks anymore, and I don't know what the alternative word is.
Circus oddities.
Yeah, oddities. I think aberrations is just a more...
I think all of these are just as offensive.
I was about to say, I think that's a more, not polite, but like intelligent way to say something equally offensive. But I think we're going to go through each of them. I'll read a little bit about them, and then we can talk about... what was the idea? Whether or not they would be in circuses in modern day. The circus doesn't even exist anymore, and it's a modern iteration, right? There's no animals in it.
You couldn't do that anymore today.
Is that okay? Yeah. You couldn't do this anymore. So Fall and I are going to rate it on a scale of how much we think you could potentially get away in a Cirque du Soleil having an act that focused around these people. Given,
I feel like
their...
the answer is going to be no for all of them.
What? What are you talking about?
Let's hear it.
First one we got is Grady Stiles. You familiar? And he's not related to Harry. Actually, I don't know why I said that so confidently. He might be related to Harry. Okay, so this was the person who was affectionately named the Lobster Boy.
Oh, I do know him.
Grady Stiles Jr. was the fourth generation of Stiles family members born with ectrodactyly, a family trait going back to the 1840s, which caused their fingers and toes to fuse into claws. Grady's father was already part of a freak show with a traveling carnival, so Grady began performing early as the Lobster Boy. As an adult, Stiles and his two youngest children performed as the Lobster Family, but Stiles was an abusive alcoholic who beat his wife, so this was not a happy family. Okay, that gets sad, so never mind. But how do you feel about if these guys were in a modern if this guy and his family was in a modern day Cirque du Soleil? Would you watch the Lobster Family?
Well, I think...
can I tell you something really quick?
Go ahead.
My main worry is that he was the Lobster Boy because he never grew up to be a lobster man. I'm glad to know that he at least got to live. It wasn't one of those like things that caused him to like die in early childhood, I guess. But he got to become a lobster man who abused his wife and his family. So
I do have one concern, especially the fact that he's abusive to women. Do you think he would affirm Jordan Peterson's worldview too much to know
the
that
lobster
there's actual
hierarchy?
lobster people out there?
You think that's why he'd get canceled?
Yeah.
They'd be like, bro, you're making us look bad. You're making the lobsters look bad. I think this has to be off pod, but do you know the High School Musical episode of South Park where it's the guy who's abusing his wife, but he slaps her all the time?
Yeah.
Can you imagine being abused by a lobster, man? I'm a pinch you.
I think that's okay. You're making fun of an abuser.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we gotta get out of jail free card with this one, unless it's one of those things where like people are like, you can't make fun of Donald Trump being overweight because that's just hypocrisy.
I think my biggest thing, and I think this might be a problem for a lot of these moving forward in this game or this questionnaire, is maybe it would be too offensive, but I think people will give somebody a pass if they're the ones who are getting paid for it. So I don't know if it'd be too exploitative. I just don't think people would be interested nowadays. He would have like 10 minutes of fame on social media.
You don't think this would be like a TLC show?
I don't think, unless he finds a way to keep the crowd's attention, I could see this guy being at most a TikTok famous person.
So I can't say this for 100% sure, because the person that I know has real struggle with language in this one. Typical hand and one hand where it's just two fingers that like kind of aren't fused together.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the bassist for a band that I like, and so he can pick with the not typical hand and play the chords with the typical hand, and so he gets by as a bass player. Yeah. Which I think was part of what I was trying to get at in my head was like, is there an alternative to them just being something that people can gawk at in the modern world? And I think this person could if they put some.
Well, I think anybody can be successful. I don't think in our modern world we would ever not allow somebody to become successful because of this sort of disability. It's could they make money?
Wait, you're saying that the world is perfectly
no, but I think people would never. Right, we wouldn't. If there was, could you imagine what thing could some? This is such a hard third segment, dude. Why'd you give us the most impossible third segment to talk about? I'm just like, I feel like I'm about to fall in a hole with every word as a step. I feel like I'm about to fall right into the deepest, darkest canyon.
I'm glad I'm editing
this my
one.
Career. I'm about to get Shane Gillis.
Ooh.
I'm getting that letter from SNL tomorrow. Fingers crossed, Lord. Man.
Yeah.
Which, I saw a video on YouTube that I clicked on today that was Dave Chappelle introduces really funny bit from Shane Gillis. And he introduced him as, you know, this comedian is good because he got canceled at the start of his career. And then the crowd claps. And I was like, wait, really? Yeah. Like, that's how dumb we are as a culture now that, and how, I don't know, where Dave Chappelle is in his mind, where he's like, he got canceled. That's a sign of being good.
Hey, come on now.
I don't know.
He's speaking some truth, brother.
I like Shane Gillis, but I was like, Jesus, that makes me want to not like him. It's fucking obnoxious.
Some people make it really hard to like him.
Yeah.
All right, do you want to move on to the next one?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. Oh, there is so much more about him, man. There's a real... okay, we're going to go to General Tom Thumb. Do you know him?
No.
Paul, it would be really offensive if you laughed at the picture of him, so I assume you're not doing that far away from your mic right now.
I'm not.
Okay. You got it all out? And by that, I mean nothing that you were doing?
Yeah. What? Are you really trying to make it seem like this for the audience? Is this the type of podcast we are now where you try to cancel me?
We need to start taking video. Okay. Charles Sherwood Stratton. Ooh, what a name. Was born in 1838. He stopped growing when he was 6 months old. He then began to grow again, though slowly, in 1847. By his 18th birthday, Stratton had reached a height of 2 feet and 8.5 inches. He began touring with P.T. Barnum as General Tom Thumb at the age of 5, amassing fame and fortune that later allowed him a lavish lifestyle and business partnership with Barnum. He died of a stroke at 45 after narrowly escaping a disastrous hotel fire. He reached a maximum height of 3.35 feet and weighed 71 pounds. Nothing problematic or anything bad about how he did his life. He just seemed to be very successful and even became a business partner.
We have TLC shows about short people nowadays. So yeah, this guy could totally be successful nowadays.
That's like their longest running series, right? It's been like 15, 20 years.
Yeah, what is it called? Like My Short Life or The Short?
I thought it was like Big World, Little People.
Yeah, Little People. That's right.
Big World. Right. Yeah. So yeah, I think that would be allowed in a modern day circus.
Do you think he would be successful for being short, or do you think he'd be like a Warwick Davis who is then like successful also separately?
Like you're saying he'd also be on Jackass?
Yeah.
Or do you think he'd be like a Peter Dinklage, like he'd be like a really prestige actor?
I don't know. What do you think? Did this guy have any... Did it mention if he did anything else for the circus? Did he just come out and be like, hey, look at me, I'm short? Or did he come out and do a performance? Was he also like a...
Apparently, he was really big on improvisation. He was kind of like a Rick and Morty character. He was like, hey, look at me. I'm General Tom Thumb. Well, I do something wacky. And he'd do like a little cartwheel.
That's how they explained
it. It doesn't say he was real. He was really improvisational a la Rick and Morty.
Famously, he was much like Rick and Morty.
Ricky Morty.
I think you could do that nowadays. I think you could have a short Rick and Morty man.
Next one is four-legged Lady Myrtle Corbin. And just as it says, she was a four-legged woman from Texas. She was a diplegus. Okay, I guess I assume that stem probably means two, and then legged or extra-legged. She was born with a severe congenital deformity of conjoined twinning that caused her to have two separate pelvises and a set of smaller inner legs that she was able to move. Oh, God. When she was just a month old, her father began showing her to curious neighbors for a dime. Eventually, she attracted the attention of P.T. Barnum and began performing when she was 13. Has anyone ever done a documentary about P.T. Barnum?
And how shitty he was?
He seems like a scumbag.
Honestly, I don't love this third segment, man. I know these people are long dead, but I feel like we're somehow re-exploiting them.
Hold on.
No, I don't think...
She lived a wonderful, happy life, and she was very content by the end of her life. That's what it says.
This is like when I... What was that third segment I brought in that was almost equally offensive to this? Where it was like...
Actually, can I say that this one... I was joking before, but this one actually does have a happy ending.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
By the time she was 18, she had enough money to retire. She went on to marry and have 5 children.
Nice. Good for her. What was the third segment I brought in? It was like war crimes or something else. I forgot
what that was. It was the year that a famous toy came out or the year that a war crime happened. I was supposed to guess which one. Of when something was a fad or when a war crime occurred.
Yeah, I think this makes me as equally unhappy as that made you. I don't think this person could be famous. How big were her second pair of legs? Full sized? Yeah, this person would 100% be famous today. That's insane.
Yeah. I think they still probably retire by 18. That's comfortable. Yeah. Nice dig. Lionel the Lion Faced Man.
Oh.
I do like that this was like, feels like long ago history, but also we have pictures of every single person that we're talking about. He was born in Poland in 1891, covered in thick, long hair, most likely to a rare condition called hypertrichosis. And, oh man, this one's sad. She gave him up at age 4 because she thought he was an abomination to a guy who just began exhibiting him. He came to the U.S. where Barnum and Bailey took him on, and he retired in the late 1920s and moved back to Germany, where he died of a heart attack in 1932.
That's sad, man. I think somebody with a full face of hair nowadays would be pretty popular on social media.
You think you'd do like a lifestyle guide type thing?
A lifestyle guide?
Yeah, it'd be like, hey, man, here's how you trim your beard and your hair, because I know how to do it, because it's everywhere.
You think you get better at it if it's all over?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Also, do you think we'd be good enough at shaving that he could just live a normal life?
I think that's what I was kind of wondering about, because we don't have as many people with, like, these types of disabilities anymore, and I think it's just because, like, we have surgeons who would get rid of your extra pair of legs, or people... would, like, I mean, I imagine, like, the best doctors in the world just kind of take these things on for free because it's, like, an interesting medical case to solve.
Just because they want to feel something for once, man.
So I think that's maybe why we don't have as, like, because it's, like, what, Barnum and Bailey were apparently finding, like, hundreds of these people?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like we have that many people with, like, really unique body disfigurations. Once again, I feel like I'm walking through a temple from Indiana Jones. It's like any step I could just step on the wrong stone and a mallet is coming out and whacking me in the head. Everything is so dangerously offensive. What were you saying? Sorry, I cut you off.
Is there a modern show equivalent? Like, is there not a TLC show about something like this? Or is it all psychological now?
Yeah, I was gonna say My Weird Addiction, but that's psychological, like you said.
Yeah. All right, let's do one more and then we'll end this one. Okay. We have Schlitzy the Pinhead.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel like he could just wear hats.
Yeah. he could do that thing where he could do like that thing like Peter Jackson did for the Lord of the Rings movies where he used fourth perspective to make it just seem like he has a normal sized head.
Though he was billed as the last of the Aztecs, Schlitzy was most likely born in the Bronx in 1901. He was born with a neurodevelopmental disorder called microcephaly, leaving him with a small brain and skull and severe Schlitzy performed in sideshow attractions with many circuses. He began his film career with the sideshow in 1928, Todd Browning's 1932 classic, Freaks. Both films were dramas set in the circus using actual freak show performers. His last major performance was in 1968. He died at the age of 70 in 1971. So he got to be in the talkies.
He could definitely be famous nowadays because Beetlejuice is famous nowadays.
What is Beetlejuice?
From the Howard Stern show. I think he must have the same disease as that person.
It's really?
Like they have the exact same body type and face.
Oh, damn.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't know how what Howard Stern does with people like Beetlejuice is okay.
Yeah, he was born with the exact same condition, yeah.
It's I mean, I guess it's all popular nowadays, so all these people could probably make it into Howard Stern's show and become minor characters.
Yeah, wait, what's his role in Howard Stern's show?
He just comes on to be interviewed and Howard Stern's kind of mean to him.
Oh, God. All right, well, if that's the life you want, maybe you'll be able to retire by 18.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you won't have to worry too much about your Fridays, because every day will be Friday once you're able to make it through in this capitalist hellhole. Paul, any big facts, no cap?
Big fact. It's Friday, man. Gotta get down. It's Friday. Is that a song from the a lyric from the Rebecca Black song?
Gotta get Friday, down on
Friday. Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Yeah, that's my big fact.
No cap. You know, people are always saying Jaden Smith tweeting all these dumb things. You should have seen me when I was 19. If we had Twitter back then, you would have heard a lot of dumb things from me too, buddy, okay? So maybe just think about that.
I don't. How is that related to Friday?
I think I was relating it to Rebecca Black being 15 and getting her parents to produce a music video for her that lives in eternity. And I think that triggered me to just think of Will Smith being like, oh, Jade, you want to make fun of my son? You should have seen what I was saying at 19. Let me recollect and say a few of them.
Bye, buddy.
Yeah. All right. Bye.